Morning. Today's daf and sukkah, daf chaf beis. We have a small sugya to do on the bottom of chaf alf and beis, and then we start with today's daf. A small sugya. Hasomech sukkas bekarei mita. Continuing the discussion in terms of a sukkah. I told you the second paragraph is more about function than it is form. It's about how to live in the sukkah. Although, as I mentioned, that's an oversimplification regarding the second parak, because as we're going to see right now, and pretty much for the rest of today, we're still going to talk more about structure of the sukkah, and less about yeshiva the sukkah, and less about the sitting in the sukkah. We'll be here for a couple of days in terms of discussing more about the structure than about the function. When we get to about chafei, roughly. So we're going to come back, yeah. So we're going to come back to the mitzvah of actually singing the sukkah. Before we begin, let's thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We learned the daf lezecher nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. The mishnah starts off with somech sukkas bekarei mita. So I'm taking the sukkah and I'm laying it down on the bed frame. Okay, the bed frame is something that we've been discussing in the past. This is not a new concept for us. The bed frame. We talked about the bed frame that was disassembled. And we were trying to figure out a couple days ago if the bed frame is disassembled, so how could it possibly be mekabel tumah? So we had a suggestion the other day. Well, we didn't totally disassemble the bed frame. We kept three of the sides of the bed frame, and it still is a functional kli. Okay, but that was a couple days ago. Now we're talking about a full bed frame, right? Rashi says mita shlema, right? The first Rashi in the Mishnah. Okay, so it's a regular bed frame. It's a full bed frame, and what we're doing now is I'm putting schach on top of the bed frame. Okay, so it's a big enough bed frame where it itself is going to encompass a kasher sukkah, 7x7 tefachim area, 10 tefachim high, and I lay schach on top of it. Okay, good, no good. So the Tana Kama says kshera. Yeah, it's fine. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, imeni cholama b'fnei atzma psula. Now, if it can't stand on its own, it would be possible. Okay, so the Tana Kama's position we're very comfortable with, meaning we understand. Well, meaning, what's the issue? There is no issue. We said that you can't use something which is mekabel tumah schach. We're not using the bed as schach. We're using the bed as a wall. The walls you can make from whatever you want. There is no limitation in terms of what the material for the wall could be. The wall could be made out of anything. It's only the schach that has all those regulations. The schach can't be something. The schach has to be something which grows from the ground, detached from the ground, and is in a mekabel tumah. So the Tana Kama's position over here is pretty clear. It's understandable. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's no good. Now, we don't get an explanation for Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's no good. He just simply says it's no good. Well, to be a little bit clearer, he says, if it can't stand on its own, meaning if the only support of the schach is coming from the bed frame, so then it's no good. But what's the problem? Why should that be according to Rabbi Yehuda? So this is the Gemara's discussion. My time into Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the reason? What's the basis for Rabbi Yehuda? Pligi bar Rabbi Zera v'Rabbi Abba bar Mamo. So there's a debate amongst the Amoraim exactly what's behind the concern of Rabbi Yehuda. So Chanamah b'she'ein mibneshi en lakeva. So one position is en lakeva. En lakeva means it's a bed frame. People pick up the bed frame. People move it. It's not a permanent. It's not a permanent entity. We've said this now countless times. I lost track in terms of how many times we've said it, but Rav Yehuda says that a sukkah has to be diras keva. It has to be a permanent structure. It can't be a temporary structure. Okay, and again, as we point out time and again, we don't hold like Rav Yehuda, meaning certainly in the first mishnah already, we rejected the position of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says you can build your sukkah more than 20 amas high. So we don't hold like that. We hold that the sukkah has to be maximum 20 amas high, because we hold sukkah has to be diras arai, not diras keva. Fine. But what the Gemara is throwing out over here as an explanation for Rav Yehuda, it is Shitas Rav Yehuda, is that you can't put it on the bed frame because the bed frame is just not a permanent structure. It's temporary. So that's one possibility, and that's why he says it's no good. Another possible explanation for Rav Yehuda is the following. The schach is kasher schach. You're laying down branches, whatever you're laying on the top of the sukkah for schach. It's kasher schach. The problem is, what's the schach being supported by? The bed frame. The bed frame is something which is mekabel tumah. Now, when we first saw the Mishnah, we said, okay, so what? Bed frame is just a wall. Yes, it's a wall, but it's a wall, and it's a support for the schach. And look at Rashi over here, an important Rashi over here. Rashi says, Shema Amida, v'alfa pi shelo lamana psul el l'schach. Now it's true that a schach is a thing that is bound by regulations. And the disqualification of a kli is only vis-a-vis the schach. But the base of the schach are these supports, meaning it's the schach is being supported on the bed frame. It's as if you're using something which is makabel tum as your schach. Right? That word ki'ilu is very important in Rashi, meaning acknowledgement. We're not actually using the bed frame as schach, but since it's supporting the schach, it's ki'ilu. It's as if the schach is something which is makabel tum. Okay, so basically, it's what we refer to in the halachic world as mamid. It's a support. And being that it's a support, so its status now extends to the schach, and it's as if the schach is being supported, or I should say rather, the schach is being used with something which is mekabel tuma. Okay, so again, a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the Tanakhama's position is fine. You could use your bed frame as your walls for the sukkah, throw the schach right on top. And Rav Yehuda says it's not fine. There are two explanations of Rav Yehuda. One is because the bed frame is not a keva, it's not a permanent structure. And the other concern, the other possibility behind Rav Yehuda is that it's a mamid bedavra mekabel tuma. It's being supported by something which is mekabel tuma. Now, my beinayu. Now, the Gemara immediately jumps into, is there a practical difference between these two explanations? So the Gemara says, yeah, sure. Kigon shenas b'shpunim shabarzel. Well, let's say that instead of using a bed frame, we use shpunim shabarzel. We use an iron frame. In other words, a really serious frame. Just it's made out of metal. So v'sicha chalem, and you throw schach on top of it. So lamandam lefishen lakeva hareish lakeva. Now, if your concern was, well, this is not a permanent structure. Well, this is basically you're making a sukkah right built on metal spits. It's fantastic. But if your concern is that it's being supported by something that it itself cannot be used for schach because it's mekabel tuma, i.e. the metal spit, so now I'm throwing the schach on top of it, and the schach is being supported by the metal by the metal spit, so it's ki'ilu, once again, go back to that language of Rashi, it's ki'ilu, the schach itself is mekabel tuma, and therefore it's no good. All right. So in other words, nafkamina, a simple practical difference, whether I go with the first explanation of Rabbi Yehuda or the second explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. It's from the Mishnah?
It sounds like.
That's how it sounds like. The issue of Mamid is a questionable issue, meaning the Gemara over here discusses it, and this is it. This is the only Gemara that we're going to see discussing the issue of Mamid. And the truth of the matter is it's unclear whether this translates into halacha. Meaning we're not totally sure what the Shulchan Aruch says. It's favorable not to put the schach, I mean, again, but this is halacha l'maisa. Just in other words, the Mishnah Berurah says it's favorable not to put the schach on metal, to put some sort of wooden, and then there's a chumra of the Chazon Ish. Okay, anyway, but I'm way ahead of myself. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ala samach. So the Gemara points out that Abai says, look, the concern over here is a limited concern. Meaning that's only if you put the schach directly onto the bed frame. But let's say I put the schach not on the bed frame, but over the bed frame. Meaning, as Rashi explains, the bed frame serves as my walls. But it's not supporting the sukkah. So Abai says, so then it would be fine. Well, what is supporting the schach? Whatever, you have something else supporting the schach. You create a wooden frame. The wooden frame itself is supporting the schach, and the bed frame itself is just serving as a wall, so then it'd be fine. My time up. Lamanda, Amar Lefishen Lakeva, Areish Lakeva. So the Gemara says, look, it's sturdy. Meaning because the schach is not thrown on top of the bed frame, the schach is thrown on a legitimate frame. So then, so you've taken care of the problem of keva. And as far as supporting the schach with something which is mekabel tuma, also taken care of because I'm not laying the schach on the bed frame. I'm laying the schach on a regular frame. The bed frame just simply serves as the actual walls themselves.
Why would you assume it's
not? Right. It's
right.
It's right. In other words, his point would seem to be pretty straightforward. Okay. That's the sugya of Mamed. It's the very short sugya of Mamed. We move on. We go on to today's daf. Today's daf is daf Chav Beis. We're in the very top. Sukkah hamiduv leles. It's a funny word. It's not exactly clear what the word means. We're going to discuss that in the context of the Gemara. So let's just say sukkah hamiduv leles. V'shitzos amaruba mecham tekshera. If you have more tzel than chama, more shade than sun, so the sukkah would be a good sukkah. Now, as Rashi points out, this second part of the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, sukkah meduv leles, so we'll wait for the Gemara to discuss. But the second point of the Mishnah, no-brainer. Well, why is it a no-brainer? Because you go back to the very first Mishnah in the Masechta. Remember, the first thing that we learned, one of the first things we learned, is that the Mishnah says, first Mishnah in the Masechta, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. And Mishnah says that Shechamta Merubah Mitzvah Sapsula, that if I have more sun than shade, so the sukkah would be no good. And our Mishnah says that if you have more shade than sun, so the sukkah would be good. In fact, if you want to analyze a little bit further, the Mishnahs actually don't work out. Why? Because the first Mishnah says, what's the disqualification if I have more sun than shade? Okay, what if it's 50-50? In other words, from the first Mishnah. Sounds like it's good. In other words, the Mishnah says only if I have a majority of sun, then sukkah is no good. But if it's 50-50, sounds like it's good. Here in our Mishnah, goes the other way. Our Mishnah says that you need more shade than sun. Sounds like if it's 50-50, so then it's no good. So the truth of the matter is that we could really make 2 points. Number one is that, been here, done that. We've already learned this from the first Mishnah. And the second point, which is probably even a stronger point, is that the 50-50, the middle ground, which both Mishnayos are not covering, seems to be a contradiction between the first Mishnah and our Mishnah, Daf Chav Beis. Stay tuned, the Gemara is obviously going to discuss that issue. It's an obvious issue. And then the Mishnah goes on to say, Ha'me'uva k'min bais. Let's say you throw a really thick schach on the top. Meaning we go to the other extreme. We're talking about the minimum amount of schach that you need on the sukkah. So that is, you just simply need to have the area covered more shade than sun. That's the minimum. What if you throw a ton of schach on top? It's ma'uva k'min bais. It's so thick, it's like a house. So alfa bishena kochavim nira mitocha k'shera. If you can't see the stars, the sukkah is a good sukkah. Okay, sounds like from the Mishnah, it's preferable. Be better if you saw the stars. But if you don't see the stars, because the schach that you laid on is so thick, so the Mishnah says k'shera. It's not going to disqualify your sukkah would be a good sukkah. Let's say you throw the schach on so thick that rain can't even penetrate into your sukkah. So is that going to be disqualification? The Mishnah does not discuss that. But I'm going to go take us all the way back to the beginning of the Masechta. So Tosos on the first half of the Masechta discusses it. I don't believe I mentioned the Tosos back then. I don't think I did. But anyway, but if you look at the bottom Tosfos on Beis Amud Aleph, so Tosos discusses, what if your schach is so thick that rain cannot come in? Is the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that such a sukkah is no good? In other words, you at least need the potential of rain to come in. Meaning, so if the schach is thick enough where I can't see the stars, that in of itself is not a problem. If the schach is thick enough where the rain can't even penetrate, so Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's no good. Because then essentially it's not a sukkah, it's a house, and that would be no good. Okay, take a look at Tosus in the very beginning of the Masechta, where he quotes a sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, anyway, back to our Gemara. My middu v'lelas. Here we go. What does our Mishnah mean? Our Mishnah uses a term that is somewhat unusual. Don't know if we have another term like this in Mishnayos or in Gemara. Speak to somebody who, you know, has more of an encyclopedic knowledge. So my middu v'lelas. So what does it mean? I'm a Rav Sukkah Aniyah. So Rav says it's referencing a Sukkah Aniyah, a poor Sukkah. Shmuel Amar Kana Ola Kana Yorid, and Shmuel says it's a beam going up, a beam coming down. I'll come back to Shmuel in just a moment. First, Rav. Rav Tani Chado, Shmuel Tani Tarte. When Rav learns our Mishnah, he says, you know what our Mishnah is doing? It's teaching us one scenario. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that our Mishnah is teaching us two scenarios. Okay, we're going to explain it better. Rav Tani Chado, Sukkah Meduv Lalas, my Meduv Lalas, Midul Delas. So first of all, let's just attack what the word actually means. According to Rav, the word means Meduv Lalas from the words Midul Dal. Midul Dal, from the word dal. Dal means poor. It's an impoverished sukkah. Well, what makes the sukkah impoverished? The fact that the schach is not laid on thick. It's a thin spraying of schach on the very top of the sukkah. But when we say thin, what do we mean? So that's the next line of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah says, vis-a-vis thin schach, poor schach. What do we mean? Shetzilsa meruba mechamta. Where I just have more shade than sun. 51% schach, 49% air. That's it. That's the bare minimum. That's where the sukkah is. Okay, we're going to call it, and the Mishnah is going to label it. It's a poor sukkah. The word miduv lelas comes from the word dal, like the Torah says, dalei dalos, like it's really poor. But poor in the sense of kosher would be 51% schach, 49% air. So such a sukkah would be kshera. So in other words, basically, when Rav attacks our Mishnah, Rav says, look, the word meduvlelas means poor, and really the Mishnah is just making one singular point. Sukkah hameduvlelas, it's funny, according to Rav, I'm not suggesting we take out the vav, but it reads a little bit better if you take out the vav. Sukkah hameduvlelas, shetzil samruba mechamsa, and the definition of that is where you just have more shade than sun, so then the sukkah would be a kasher sukkah. That's the way Rav understands our Mishnah. Shmuel, Tani Tarte. Now Shmuel says, no, our Mishnah is making two distinct points. My meduvlelas mibulbelas. So first of all, in terms of what the word meduvlelas means, it comes from the word bilbul. Bilbul, confused. Okay, right, the Gemara says that Bavel is a land of confusion. The Gemara actually has worse things to say about Bavel than that. I gave you the nice version, but of course it's ironic that the Bavli, right? That's the Gemara that we learn was put together in Bavel. Okay, and very often you see quips in the Gemara about, you know, the Bavli learned by the Bavliim, meaning the Bavliim meaning the Jews in Bavel. So you're going to see sometimes it gets a little bit confusing. Okay, so. We spend our days learning confusion. But the sukkah meduvlelas comes from the word milvovelas. And now that it's a mixed up sukkah, we have to understand what that means. Vitarti katani. But again, just going through the Gemara. Then the Mishnah is making, according to Shmuel, two distinct points. Number one, sukkah meduvlelas kshera. If it's a mixed up sukkah, it's kasher. We'll explain what that means in just a moment. Vitzosim ruba mechamta kshera. And then the Mishnah goes on to another point, which is that you need more shade than sun. 51% of the area of the schach has to be schach, actual shade. 49% of it could be air, could be sun. That's fine. Okay. Amar Abaye. So now we're going to move ahead. And now basically like this. We certainly, according to Rav, we get the whole Mishnah. The Mishnah is just making one singular point. I need more shade than sun. And that's the entirety of the Mishnah. And sukkah meduvlelas is just simply a function of the word dal. It's a poor sukkah, it's a poor schach, it's impoverished. Fine. According to Shmuel, the Mishnah is making two distinct points. The second point we get. That means that you need more shade than sun. What's the first point of the Mishnah according to Shmuel? So all we got so far is that's mibulbal. It's mixed up. So what exactly does that mean, mixed up? So basically here, I don't know if this helps, but I have diagrams for today. Okay, I draw two pictures on the board. So basically, these two pictures are going to help us understand the Mishnah and Oelos. Okay, but if you look at the picture closer to me, basically, here's the story. Our sukkah, our schach and our sukkah is... Well, I drew the shape of beams. We're looking at it from the side and a cross section. So I drew out beams. I know we talked earlier about beams being good or being unacceptable. But let's assume that the width of these beams are below 4 tfachim, right? Which we said, let's say they're below 3 tfachim, which according to everyone is fine. Okay, fine. And I'm not talking about modern halacha, but according to everyone it's fine. And now basically what I have is I have two layers of the beams. One layer is above and one layer is below. And essentially what the Mishnah is teaching us is that even though it's a layered schach, it's fine. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us according to Shmuel. The word meduvlelas comes from the word mibubal, which means that it's not one straight layer of schach, but it goes up, it comes down, it comes up, it comes down. So in other words, I have layers of schach. And what we're going to be doing from today until the rest of today is basically discuss what are the parameters of this idea that if I have layering in the schach, I could basically say that really it's just one entity, it's one single entity. Yes, it's divided. Yes, it's separated. One's higher and one's lower. But the truth of the matter is that we can view it as one entity.
From inside, it looks the same.
So from the bottom, right, correct. In other words, point right, perspective and point of view. Okay, but we're going to be discussing, good. And we're going to be discussing it now in terms of halachic parameters. And we're going to give out halachic concepts today. So the Gemara starts off like this. Amar Abaye. So what we're going to do, instead of tackling the issues head on, we're going to say halachas about this, our divided sukkah, our staggered sukkah, and based on the halachas that we're going to say, we're going to understand basic concepts. Amar Abaye lo shanu ala she'ein bein zeh lazeh shlosha tfachim. Aval yesh bein zeh lazeh gimel tfachim psula. So Abaye's first point, which we could have all guessed, and we could have all seen this coming, is that lavan, Meaning that our staggered sukkah, if the distance between the top and the bottom layers are within three tefachim of one another, so then you're fine. Because as we've said time and again, anything within three tefachim is as if it's unified, is as if it's one. And therefore, Abaye says, that's fine. We can then view the staggered schach as one single entity. But if it's greater than three tefachim, so then Abaye says, that's no good. Okay. Amar Rava. Now, so Abaye's point is a simple point of lavud, one that we've been through already time and again. That's fine. But now we get to Rava's point, and Rava really will be the rest of today's daf. Afilu yesh bein zu lazu shlosha tefachim. Rava says, I'll go one step further. Let's say the difference between the higher and the lower beams is greater than three tefachim. So I don't have the principle of lavud. Nami lo amar ela ein she'ein begago tefach. Aval yesh begago tefach k'sheira. But Rava now is going to introduce us to the following. If let's say the distance between here and here is one tefach, from here to here, so then Rava will tell you, I don't care if the distance between here and here is greater than three tefachim. Doesn't matter. Rava says, why? Because as long as this distance is one tefach, essentially what's going to happen is this beam is going to come down. Okay, this is a principle. Let's see it inside. Afilu yesh bein zu lazu shlosha tefachim, nami lo amar ela she'ein begago tefach. Aval yesh begago tefach, if the distance of each beam is one tefach, k'sheira. Our sukkah would be kosher even if there's a great vertical gap between the upper beams and the lower beams. De amrinan chavot rami. Because what we're going to say now is the idea of chavot rami. Chavot, we've seen that word come up before. Chavot means it comes down. Rami means, and we're going to send it. Meaning, what does that mean we're going to send? We're going to send the entire beam down. What's going on over here? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, She'ein begago. Rashi is a little bit lower than where we are in the Gemara. Bekana ola rachav tefach delav shem ola la lachshuvei ulameimar be chavot rami. So first Rashi over here is explaining that if it doesn't have a tefach, then we don't get to say that it comes down. What does the words chavot rami mean? Rashi explains, hashpel, the word shafel means to become lower, and v'hashlech, and basically send it. Lower and send it. Oso avir shetachtav. In other words, obviously it's above airspace. We're going to take that upper beam and we're going to push it down. Dehainu nami inyan good achis. Rashi says, you know what you want to do? You want to put this under the category of good achis. Good achis, we've talked about already a number of times. The concept behind good achis is walls go up, walls go down. Meaning.
Because of the thickness, not the width.
Okay, this is right. So hold, stay with me for just one moment. Okay? The good achis concepts that we've seen before is that when I have a wall, the wall extends up, the wall comes down. Okay, good achis was more controversial, meaning good asik, we've said with little reservation, that once I have a wall of 10 tefachim, so then the wall continues to go up. That's the concept of good achis. Good asik, sorry, let me correct myself. That's good asik. That means it goes up. Good achis is the other direction, meaning the wall's here, and I'm extending it down, good achis. Good achis, as we pointed out before, we have reservations about good achis, right? We said that even if there's a space of three tefachim from the ground to the bottom of the wall, so we said that's no good by sukkah. In other areas of halacha, it may be good, but in the world of the sukkah, we said it's absolutely no good. Right, there was one opinion that was okay with it, but we're not okay with it. Here, explains Rashi, this concept of chavod rami is a subcategory of good achis. Ela le'inyim mechitz, I'm sorry, Nami good achis. Ela le'inyim mechitza davi chuda shal mechitza shayach lemeimar good achis. Mishoch osa v'hurad. But Rashi points out it's a subcategory, meaning this is not good achis per se. The term good achis, explains Rashi, is where basically I have a wall and I'm just extending the wall down. That's good achis. Good asik, on the other hand, would be where I have a wall and I'm just extending the wall, continuing upwards. But that's obviously not what we're doing over here. Meaning the diagram, hopefully, will show you that that's not what we're doing over here. Here what we're doing is that we're dropping the entire beam. We're going to take that beam halachically and we're going to bring it down. So in other words, there are really two things going on here. Chavot means that we're lowering. But we're not just lowering the entire edge over here. Chavot Rami. We're basically taking this beam and halachically bringing it down so that it closes the gap. We can only do that, says Rava, if the distance of the beam is one tefach.
What does Chavot Rami mean?
Chavot means to lower, and Rami means hashlech, means to send it. Meaning we're not just lowering the side, we're sending the whole beam down as well. It's like an elevator shaft. We're bringing it down. Right. So what we've said before, and it's a, and your point is excellent, is that Lavud is there to assist us, but Lavud's not going to hurt us. Here, you'll see why. In general, it would only hurt us. You'll see, because we're going to be discussing it in the context of Tumah. Okay, this is the concept of Chavot Rami and Amar Rava Mina Aminala. So the obvious question: where do you get it from? Meaning, good. So now we said Pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about where the beams are staggered. The beams are not in one line, one horizontal line. Some of the beams above, some of the beams are below. And Abai told us that as long as the above and the below beams are within three tefachim of one another, then you're fine because we have the concept of Lavud. Good. Rava, however, takes us to a new level and goes one step further. Even if the staggered beams, the high beams and the low beams, are greater than three tefachim, we have now a concept of Chavot Rami. And the concept of Chavot Rami tells us that as long as each beam is one tefach wide, and as long as the gap between them, although what I'm about to say is controversial, but just for our purposes it's simple, and it makes the discussion easy. And the gaps between them is one tefach, and as long as we brought it down, we would fill in the gaps. So we have the concept of Chavot Rami. Chavot Rami allows us to say that we take the upper beam and we just basically drop it down to fill in the gaps between the lower ones. How do we know of this concept altogether? Mina aminala dechi is beitefach amina Chavot Rami, vechi leis beitefach leis beilo amina Chavot Rami. And furthermore, asked the Gemara, the whole rule of Chavot Rami is only limited to a scenario where the beam itself is one tefach wide. Where does that come from? How do we know this? Did not. So here's what we do. We're going to learn together a Mishnah Olos today. The 12th parak of Olos deals with Tumas Oel, Tumas Meis, and so we're going to learn the Mishnah together. Now, if you noticed, I drew two pictures on the board, and the reason why is because I anticipated the Mishnah Olos, so there are basically two parts to the Mishnah. There is the one that is further away from me, right, more to your left, and the one that's closer to me. This is the one we've been talking about in the context of Sukkah, but now we're going to discuss it in a different context, and that is Tumas Oel, Tumas Meis. Okay, I feel like we've been discussing this a lot lately, but just quickly, quick intro. So if you have human remains, we're talking really more about the flesh than we are talking about bones. Bones of human remains don't give off Tumas Oel. Under certain circumstances it does, but limited circumstances. I need either the skull or the vertebrae. I need the majority of the bone structure of one human being, then the bones give off Tumas Oel. But generally speaking, though, if it's just one bone or a couple of bones, it's not going to give off Tumas Oel. It only comes to you only become Tumah. The transmission of Tumah is only through Maga, through contact or Masa, or picking it up. However, when it comes to actual human remains, flesh of a human being, so it gives off Tumas Oel. Tumas Oel means that if you and the human remains are under one roof, what happens is that the tumah goes up, hits the roof, spreads out over the roof, and drops down over the entirety of the roof. What's the bare minimum definition of a roof? One by one tefach. It has to be at least one by one tefach. If it's not one by one tefach, even if it's a long strip of wood, but it's narrower than one tefach, then that doesn't have the status of ohel. It only has the status of ohel if it's one by one tefach. And oh, by the way, the distance between the floor and the ceiling also has to be one tefach. So one cubic tefach is your definition of what a roof is. We're just, right, well, okay, fine. The Mishnah Olos deals with the following scenario. Let's see the Mishnah inside. Did none. So we're dealing with a house which is rather unusual house. Okay, there's no pitch on the top of the house, and vehein mechuvanos. And actually, there's a first floor and there's a second floor, and basically staggered beams. The beams are not right next to one another, but it's a beam, airspace for the first floor, and then for the second floor, same thing, beam, airspace. Basically, what I drew over there. All right, this is what the house looks like. I know it's a funny house. I wouldn't I don't think it would get a CO, but okay. Anyway, that's our house that we're talking about. So Korah Abayis V'Aliyah Shein Aleim Aziv V'Heim Chuvanas. So Tuma Tachas Achas Mehem Tachta Tamei Beina Tachton L'Elyona Beinayim Tamei Al Gabe Elyona Kenegda Al Rekia Tamei. So in the first case in the Mishnah, we're going to take the mace, we're going to take the human remains, and we're going to put it in three distinct locations. Let's say I take the human remains and I put it over here. Okay, I'm just going to make a blob. Okay, that way we don't have to get too graphic. Okay, so if I have the mace over here, so what happens? So the tumor shoots up, hits that beam, spreads out, and comes back down over the entirety of that beam. Now, the oval does two things. It basically catches the tumor, brings it back down, and stops it from going up. So in other words, if the mace is over here, so the tumor goes up, comes back down over the area underneath his beam, and it doesn't go above it. So if you have a person or a kli standing over here, not tummy, tower. If I took the mace and I moved it to this area, that's the second part of the Mishnah, so the tumor goes up, hits the roof, comes back down. But that's it. In other words, it's confined to this one area. It doesn't affect this area, and it doesn't affect the area above. Third case of the Mishnah, I take the mace and I put it up here. So now, the tumah is ola ad l'rakia. It goes up ad infinitum, and there's no tumah below it. Those are the three cases of the Mishnah. And this addresses your issue. Well, why not say lavan? Meaning, if the distance between here and here is only one tefach, so why not say lavan and close the gaps? We don't want to say that. Because if we were to say that, then the entire area would become tummy. So once there's a gap over here, so the gap basically divides these two, even though it's less than a tefach, and therefore the mace is only limited. If the mace is over here, it's limited to this area. If the mace is over here, to this area, and over here, ad infinitum.
When the mace is on top of that, on top, right? Does the mace have to be one tefach of rabbet to prevent it from coming down?
No, it doesn't.
Only if it's
as long as it's a tefach of floor. So then, the tumah does not go down.
Well, it has to be one tefach above it.
Right, correct. Agreed. Are you right? Yes.
And that is going to help, but you know, it's not going to help. But it's super. It's
help. Correct. Agreed. Agreed. Right. Right. It's a fair question. Okay. I'll have to think more about that, but it's a good question. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah Ovalos. Second part of the Mishnah Ovalos is now the next picture. So tachas achamim, tachas atame, bein tachas leona, beinayim tame. Okay, hayu al yonos kebein atachtonos. But okay, so the first Mishnah Ovalos dealt with the picture far to my right, to your left. Now we go to the next part of the Mishnah Ovalos, where hayu al yonos kebein atachtonos. Same basic layout of the house, but the beams are staggered. So that basically, with the upper beams, it's beam, airspace. The lower beams, it's airspace, beam. So in other words, on the upper one, whatever was airspace, if you go directly below, is occupied by a beam. So here now, the halacha is going to be treated differently. Tuma tachtehem, tachas kulam tameh. Here now, straight aground, if I take the mace and put it tachtehem, underneath any one of them, any one of the beams. So if I put it over here, so now the entire area is tummy. underneath here, the entire area is tummy.
Why?
If I put the mace over here, once again, the entire area is tummy. Why? Chavad rame. Because we have this concept where as long as it's one tefach wide, this is going to drop and fill in the areas. That's the concept of Chavad Rami. So says the Mishnah in Olos. Right, Chavad Rami is right. Chavad Rami is just simply, it's a wall we have now, and it's coming down. So Al Gabeyam, so I'm sorry. Tuma Tachtem Tachas Kulam Tame. Al Gabeyam Kenegda Madlarakia Tame. And then, if I, instead of putting the mace over here, I put it on top of the beam. Which one? Doesn't matter. I'll put it over here. What's going to end up happening is tuma ola al rakia. It's just going to go up. In other words, nothing's holding the tuma, nothing's stopping the tuma, and it's just going to continuously go up. That is the Mishnah Olos. So the Mishnah Olos basically deals with two construct cases, this case and this case. What we're interested, obviously, is in the second case, because in the second case, we're now introduced to a concept of Chavad Rami. Chavad Rami tells us that the two boards are going to basically fill in each other's gap. Now, all this is good, meaning it's a basic introduction to Chavad Rami, but now what we need is the Braisa. Meaning we learn now a Mishnah Noalos, and now we have a Braisa. Right? I'm looking on the side. It's a Tosefta. Utani Allah. The Braisa tells us, Chavad Rami only works if each beam is one tefach. So in other words, everything over here is a uniform tefach. This is a tefach, this is a, everything here is a tefach. So then now Chavad Rami takes his beam and flushes it down and aligns it with these two beams. But if the area between these two, if the area between these two is less than a tefach, let's say it's a half a tefach, so now, and the beam, let's just say, for purposes of simplicity, let's say this beam is a half a tefach, so no, Chavad Rami does not bring it down. Chavad Rami only brings it down if it's one tefach. So says the Braisa. And that means that,
at least exactly one tefach.
No, at least a tefach. At least a tefach. And that means then that if I have a mace in this scenario, if I have a mace over here, so now this beam is not dropping down. So in other words, so now the tumah is underneath, the tumah is limited to this area over here. And what about this area over here? Tumah just goes up. Isn't this going to trap it? No. Because it only traps if it's one tefach. If it's less than one tefach, it won't trap. So in other words, the tumah comes here, comes back down over here, and doesn't extend to the other parts of the house.
Is that the space that's important, or the width? You know, like if you have
to say it simply, it's the width of this beam. That's because I need this beam in order for it to drop. I need this beam to be one tefach wide.
It should extend to the left door, because that's
the right. In other words, out here, just to make it easier. Right.
So if the top one can hover now, the space is going to cover it.
Okay, right. This is a primer, meaning. This could get much more detailed, but that's the Braisa. By medvar mamur b'zman sheish b'hem tefach b'neim potech tefach aval ein b'neim potech tefach tomatachas achas mehem tachtei atame b'neim v'agabem tar. Okay, that's the Braisa Alma. And now, when all said and done, what do we get from all this? Ki is be tefach amina chavad rami v'chilais le tefach lo amina chavad rami shma mina good. Rava says, I have now the Mishnah Noalos complemented with the Braisa, and once I have it all together, so now we get to enjoy the whole concept of Chavad Rami, but only in a situation where each beam was at least one tefach. Okay. Yosef Rav Kahana v'kama l'hashmaita. So Rav Kahana is sitting down, and Rav Kahana is going over the sugya. So Amalei Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, so Rav Ashi says to Rav Kahana, v'chol hechad l'es bei tefach lo amin Chavad Rami, is that true? Are you right? That we don't say Chavad Rami if it's less than a tefach v'hatanya. The Gemara says, but can we go over a Mishnah in Erevin? Now this Mishnah in Erevin, so it wasn't that long ago that we did this Mishnah in Erevin. We're discussing the beam at the entrance of the Mavui. Remember the Mavui? Where basically it's an alleyway, all the chatziros are spilling into the Mavui, and then the Mavui goes into a street. And the problem, the Mavui itself is a Rishus HaYachid, the problem is that we don't know the absolute point of demarcation between the Mavui and the Rishus HaRabim. So what we did, we didn't do anything, what the Chachamim instituted is that you need a hacker, you need some way of demarcating, this is where the Mavui ends, this is where the street begins. So it can be done in one of two ways. Either with a lechi, a vertical pole on the side, or a korah, or a beam on the top. We also pointed out that the beam has to be one tefach wide, minimum one tefach wide. If the beam is not one tefach wide, it's not a good korah. Masha'inkim, when it comes to the lechi doesn't have to be a tefach wide. Okay, but fine. We're going to be focusing on the korah. So the Gemara says, V'atanya, we learned on a braisa. Korah, yotzi mikosu zu, ve'ino noga mikosu zu. Let's say I have a beam that goes out and extends from one end of the alleyway to the other. Remember, it's a horizontal beam going across the top of the alleyway, the entrance of the alleyway. And it doesn't hit the other end. Or let's say the beams come out from each end, but don't meet in the center. So Pachas Mishloshein is Tzarech Lavi Kara Acheres. Shloshet Tzarech Lavi Kara Acheres. As long as the distance between either the end of the Kara and the side of the Mavui, the entrance of the Mavui, is less than three Tvachim, Lavud. As long as the distance between the two, between the center of the two beams is less than three Tvachim, we say Lavud. Oh, by the way, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, top of Chavezim and Beis, Pachos me arba'a ain't tzarech lahavi kara acheres. Arba'a tzarech lahavi kara acheres. For Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the magic number is not three, but rather it's four tefachim. Meaning, he's of the opinion that Lavud goes up to four. I think, right? Please correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this is the first time in Sukkah that we introduced ourselves to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that Lavud goes up to four tefachim. Okay, it's a little bit strange. We're having a debate about what is the halacha Moshe Mitzinai. All right, the Rambam writes, as a rule, we don't have machlokas by halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Okay, what would the Rambam do with our Gemara right here? I'm not sure. But, okay, but anyway, we don't go like Rishon and Gamliel. Fine. So, I'm sorry, lahavi kara acheres, arba'a tzarech lahavi kara acheres. V'chein shtei koras hamatimos. Let's, the Mishnah is now going to discuss another scenario. Again, to do it correctly, I need a beam, a horizontal beam, going from one end of the Mavi to the other, that's four tefachim, that's one tefach wide. That's if you want to do it right. What if, let's say, the shtei koros, I have two beams running across the length of the entrance of the Mavui. Lo bazuka de la kabel ariach, lo bazuka de la kabel ariach. Neither is one tefach wide. But im ekablas ariach l'rachvo, tefach, ain't tzarech l'havi karacheres. However, between the two, so in other words, the two thin sticks running across, if the two can hold and support one brick along its width, which is one tefach, so then you're good. V'im lav tzarech l'havi karacheres. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, im ekablas ariach l'arko shlosha tefachim. No. It has to be able to hold the brick along its long side, which is three tefachim. Ain't tzarech l'havi karacheres. V'im lav tzarech l'havi karacheres. Okay. Hayu achas l'mala v'acha l'mata. And again, all that was intro. We want this part of the braisa. We want to see this part of the braisa. Okay, so again, you want to do it right. One beam going across the entrance of the Mavui, one tefach wide. Let's say I have two beams. Neither of them is one tefach wide. Let's say each one of them is a half a tefach wide. And I put one here and one here. Now, for those who are watching, it's great. For those who are listening, you're lost. But basically, they are next to one another, but just one is higher and the other one is lower. The Mishnah says, the Braisa says, Hayu achas l'mala v'achas l'mata, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rowan ha'aliona ki ilu hi l'mata, v'esach tachtona ki ilu hi l'mala, uvavash lo tehe aliona l'mala me'asra mama, v'tachtona l'mata me'asara. So basically what happens, halachically, they will merge. They will vertically move in each other's direction to the point of merging. Okay. Here's the problem. It's very simple. In other words, by definition, each beam by itself is not one tefach wide. If either beam was one tefach wide, so then the job is done. Then I have a valid kora. Each beam is obviously less than a tefach. The point the Bryce is making is that we will view them as moving towards one another halachically, so that they can merge and they can fuse together, even though each beam by itself is obviously less than one tefach wide. And you told me, right, Rava, you told me that the whole concept of Chavad Rami is only when the beam, each beam itself is one tefach wide. Well, what are you going to do regarding this Brisa in Erevin? So the Gemara says, first the Gemara asks a question. So the Gemara says, Hazev is debetoch esrim amrin Chavad Rami, alfa gav delez be tefach. That's the question. So he says, okay, you're right. It's certainly difficult. Here's how I would explain the braisa. Now, as long as the upper one is within 20 amos, because remember, same rules regarding the korah. Korah can't be higher than 20 amos. If the upper one is within 20 amos and the one below it is within 3 tefachim, check, because of lavud. Or let's say the lower beam is just above 10 tefachim from the ground, Because again, same rule regarding a korah. Korah can't be lower than 10 tefachim. And if it were, it'd be really difficult for people to get in. I mean, even at 10 tefachim, you know, it's limbo time to walk into the mavli. But still, in other words, as long as the lower one is just above 10 tefachim, and the one above it is within 3 tefachim. They're staggered. They're all, and the one is over the other. But the point is that they're within 3 tefachim. In other words, to put it really simply, it's not the simple pshat in the Braisa, but Rava says, but we're going to say it. The Braisa is not talking about a case where the two half tefach beams are far apart from one another. Because if they are, we can't unify them. We have no halachic concept to do so. It's further than Lavud, so Lavud's not going to help us. And we can't say Chavad Rami because each beam by itself is not one tefach wide. Fine. So the only case the Braisa is talking about is when the two beams are within 3 tefachim of one another. Now again, the Braisa doesn't say all this, but we'll say it in the, we're not going to do anything. Rava says, we'll say it in the Braisa just so that it conforms to what we know based on the Mishnah and the Braisa Noelos.
But that's
Lavud.
We know that already.
Okay, good. And then the question is, so then what are we learning? Right, in other words, good. Now we have a Braisa and basically reviewing Lavud for us. No. It's staggered. It's not one directly over the other. It's staggered. So that Lavud basically now allows us to view it as on one plane, even though it's on two planes. If Lavud allows us to view on one plane, and that and gives us now a tefach.
Wait, but you learn is that if it's less than one tefach, the only option you have is Lavud.
That's the only option you have, right. In other words, then we won't say Chavad Rami. Okay. All right, Adkan. In other words, fine, and understood. But in other words, but the simple pshat in the Braisa seems to indicate that Chavad Rami works even less than a tefach, and that was the tricky part. Okay, Adkan.
Chavad Rami, in this case, if you had one tefach, but the space was more than 3 tefach, one tefach.
Yeah, so okay, again, the discussion can go on. But let's just keep it simple right now. Let's just get ourselves introduced to the topics, and then afterwards you can ask me all the various permutations. Okay, so again we have a Mishnah. Mishnah says Meduvsukim Meduvlalas is fine. It checks out. What does that mean? So we have two explanations of our Mishnah. Rav and Shmuel. Rav says Sukim Meduvlalas is just as simply it's a lead into the next point of the Mishnah, which means it's sparse schach. Okay, it's a tongue twister. And but as long as I have 51%, the Mishnah says that's fine. Shmuel says no. Sukim Meduvlalas means where the schach is staggered. And I have two rows of schach, and one is not looking above the other, but rather they are off alignment. Look like this picture over here. Where, as long as each beam is one tefach, and even though the vertical distance between the upper and the lower is greater than 3 tefachim, I now enjoy the concept of Chavad Rami. Chavad Rami basically allows us to take the two and merge them together. Now, I'm sorry, someone asked me about why not say Lavud to fill in the gaps? Right. And the answer is pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. Lavud will fill in the gaps, but Lavud will not create entity. Meaning, Lavud won't actually provide schach in that area. So even if I filled in the gaps with Lavud, it's still airspace vis-a-vis the halachas of schach. What Chavad Rami does is it actually takes this beam. It takes this beam and it brings it down over here. So you have actual material in that area. That's so. And Chavad Rami would allow us to use such a sukkah. Okay, good. That's Shmuel's understanding. Rava supports Shmuel based on the Mishnah Oelos. Okay.
Did you say that lower works if they have more area space that they in one area of the sukkah that you would...
Lavud will close a gap, but Lavud won't create actual material in that area.
But the sukkah would be a
steel
kosher or not?
No, if it's more airspace than it is shade. No, in other words, the halacha of cham and sel is I need actual shade. In other words, there needs to be something there providing shade. Lavud can close gaps, but Lavud can't create shade. That's now I said it simply and hopefully more clear. One area is not okay, so then the sukkah is fine. It works. Mind you, right, you can't be under that actual area.
I see.
Okay. Okay, let's just finish up. We have just a little bit more to go to finish up the daf. Still some ruba mechantek shera. Haki adad ipsula. And now the Gemara is going to make the observation that we made all the way back in the Mishnah. Our Mishnah sounds like, I need more shade than sun. Doesn't sound that way, it says it. I need more shade than sun. 51% shade, 49% sun. Our Mishnah says it's fine. 50-50, simple reading of our Mishnah, no good. But the Gemara says, let's go back. The first Mishnah told us that if I have more sun than shade, so then it's no good. Which means then, the simple diuk, is that if it's 50-50, it's fine. Okay, so the Gemara says, we are going to resolve the discrepancy between the two Mishnayos in the following manner. Okay. Now, I didn't do enough actual empirical research to say it, but the Gemara says it, so I'll say it, just based on the Gemara, without any empirical research. But I'm gonna trust the Gemara on this point. When sun comes in, so what happens is that the sun actually increases a little bit. In other words, from the point where it hits from the schach to the point of the floor, the area of the sun, right, spreads out a little bit. In other words, it's not a perfect parallel lines running side by side, but it actually is often a little bit of an angle, so it spreads out a little bit. So, what the Gemara now is explaining is that look at Rashi, kamalamala kamalamata, hi de daikina ki adad de psula lamalakai. When we said that they are even, that's talking about at the point of schach. Kishyesh ben kana lakana kem lo kana afilu mitzum sam psula. There would be possible lefi shechamasa avir niras baret rachva harbe minatzel shos schach. Because now what's going to happen is that as you look at the ground, you're going to actually see more sun than shade because the sun's going to spread out a little bit. V'hai d'dekin k'adad d'kshira nakishira milamata shechamta b'tzel shavin biyadua shakana rachavim in avir. However, if you look at the floor, and you'll see, in other words, you actually measure, and you'll see that there are equal amounts of sun and shade, so that by definition means that if I translate that back to the schach, it by definition means that there's more schach than there actually is shade. So the Gemara says, that's the resolution between the two Mishnayos, and the truth of the matter is, it's just a question of whether we're looking from the perspective of the actual schach, or we're looking at the sun and shade cast on the floor. Right. Okay. It's fair. It's a fair question. I don't know the answer, but it's a fair question. I'm a Rav Papa Haina Dami Inshi because there's a Malal Kistra Malatachas. And Rav Papa says it's an expression that everyone knows. I don't know who everybody is, but everybody knows the expression. Kizuza Milael, in other words, a small coin above, is Kistra Malatachas. It's like the size of an Istra below. Again, the idea that the sun does not create a parallel, two parallel lines coming down, but actually spreads out a little bit at a ratio of zuza to istra. Now, obviously, again, the mathematician, in other words, that doesn't, it depends on the distance, depends on the angle, right? There are a couple of variables that we have to take into consideration over here. Okay, anyway. Mu'uva kimin bayis. Tana Rabbana mu'uva kimin bayis alfa pishe ne kochav nira mitocha kshera. En kochve chama nira mitocha. Now, if you can't see the stars, so the Mishnah says it's kosher, the Brisa echoes the sentiment of the Mishnah. That if you can't see the stars, it's kosher. Again, it sounds like from both the Mishnah and the Brisa that it's preferable to see the stars. But, no, you don't have to. And what if you can't see the sun? You can't see the sun. Imagine how thick schach we're talking about. If you can't see the sun, en koch vechama nir mitocha, Beishamai posim beisol machshirim. So here we have a debate between Beishamai and Beisol. Beishamai is machmir, no good. Too thick. It's like a house. And Beisol says, no, it's fine. It's acceptable. Again, lechatchila doesn't sound that way, but certainly b'dieved, it would be fine. It would be kosher. Because, again, there's no requirement to see the stars, and there's no requirement to see the sun, but it should be thick enough where you obviously have more shade than sun, but still allowing some of the sky to be seen. Starlight and certainly sun. Okay, we'll stop over here. We're going to talk tomorrow about placing the sukkah on the back of your pickup truck. That won't be exactly the scenario that the Mishnah paints, but correct. Sukkah on wheels. Okay, coming up in tomorrow's daf.
conviction.